Bless you. He's happy to be in the house of the Lord today.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. It is good to be a Christian. I don't want to be anything else.
Right.
Amen. Just love the Lord and love his people. Enjoy the time we get to spend together around his word. Amen. So if you have your Bibles, let's go ahead and we'll read just a couple of short scriptures. We'll start with 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. Second Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. You know, we're made in God's image, and so a lot of the things that God experiences, the way he sees things, the way he looks at things, he would look at it, or let me say it this way, the way we would look at things would be the same way he would. Because he made us in his image. Because he wants us to be able to identify with his program. Amen. So, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1 through 4. A very familiar scriptures. Paul speaking, would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and be bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which you have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. And then I want to go to Revelation 18, verse 1 through 5, another very familiar scripture to us. Revelation 18, verse 1 through 5. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily, with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and is become, not only has it fallen, but it has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Should only have one bird there, right? The Holy Spirit, the dove, right? For all nations, the entire world, the all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Let's just pray. Lord, we love you this morning. We thank you for this special opportunity where your children can get together, of those of Black Precious Faith, those that we love, and those, Lord, that we believe we'll be spending eternity with. And Lord, as we come into this place this morning, we're just asking God, as you have promised in your word, to be with us, to break the bread of life, to speak to our hearts out of your word, Lord. And if there's any error in our life, we pray, God, that you would let your word correct it, Lord, because when it comes from you, it's very productive. And we're asking, Lord, this morning that that's exactly what you would do, is you would come and just lead us and guide us and keep us and help us in every way. We want to be faithful stewards, and we want to be your special chosen bride. We believe as we feast on this message, it is an indication, Lord, that that's who we are to be. That's who we are. We love you, Lord. Pray that you touch every life, both present and those streaming. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Well, the title of this, Spiritual Fornication. I'm gonna say it like this, because I know that I can't cover everything that the Lord has put on my heart. I can't cover it all today, so I'm going to call it a series. I don't know if we'll keep the same name. We'll just have to see how it goes. but I know that there is a great portion of the Lord wants me to go through with all this. I've tried to get away from it for weeks and weeks, and so the only thing I know to do is to share it.
Yeah.
And so in this series, we're going to be talking about, of course, we know there is one God. We're going to be talking about how that Satan used his tactics to cause the peoples of the earth to become idolaters, which makes them guilty of spiritual fornication. And we're going to talk about how God has sent the message in this day to call his people out of that so that we can be called back to true worship, back to a worship that is not vain,
back
to a worship that God accepts. And we're going to talk about how that there are many people in message churches that are still committing spiritual fornication. Amen? We are in the last days, I believe that. And so I know that God sends things for a reason. He sends this message for a reason. He just doesn't do things like we would do just for the fun of it. There's a reason why he's done the things that he's done. And if it's God, if it's something God has done that you know that no one can do but him, I think we should stand up and pay attention to it. Having this Bible with us this day, as long as it's been here, and it still is accurate, that's a major thing that we should look at and remember. And so I just want to, the gift that God is in my life, you know, I don't know how much longer God's going to let me be here with you, but as I get closer and closer, you know, the Brother Ram talked about this, you know, I want to use the gift of God in my life to the full extent, and I want to do as with everything that I can within me. I want to bring as much of the message down, the weight and of the message, and bear down on these things, so that I can say, which I can say this, and I want to continue to be able to say this, I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Everything that God has allowed me to see in his word, that I have shared.
Yeah.
And I don't want to hold back anything else. And so, you know, if God has given me a gift to see through a certain nature like that, I believe he wants me to share that with you. I think I would be hypocritical if I did anything else. I would not be honoring what he put in my life or him if I did something different than that. I certainly want to do that. And you pray for me.
Yeah.
So I recommend that in this series that you fasten your seatbelts.
And
please don't be offended. Amen?
Right. Amen.
Amen. So we know that there is one God. Amen. One God that, this is what we believe, one God who is the creator of all things. He's eternal. He's invisible. And he has a nature about him that's good and just and holy and righteous and fair. We believe that.
Right.
Amen. And I'm going to read here just a minute, quote out of the Church Age book, but it's out of authentic history. And so, hey, go do the research yourself. You know, that's what I do.
Right.
I go look these things up. And so this understanding of this one God, there was a time on this earth way back in the beginning there when all peoples of the earth knew and believed there was one God and who he was and what his nature and his character was. And so what Satan gets in the middle of things. And so I'm going to read, and it might be a little bit lengthy, but then it's not. And so this is out of the Pergamene Age. And by the way, I've been listening to the Pergamene Church Age, and I will not exaggerate. I'm not exaggerating. I don't know the count, but it's definitely more than 30 times, because there is so much there.
Right.
And God has helped me there, that I've even printed it out and put it in a folder so I can go over it and I can highlight and write things, because there's so many things out of there that I want to bring to you, because it's apparent to me that people in the message are missing a whole lot.
Yeah,
they're missing
right.
a lot of
yeah,
things
cool.
of what this prophet has said.
Yep.
And I believe God sent that here to make us not be spiritual fornicators any longer.
Right.
Amen?
Amen?
That's what I believe he's done. Amen. And so, reading here, ancient histories agree with the Bible that this Babylonian religion was certainly not the original religion in the earth and the earthly people. It was the first to drift away from the original faith, but it was not itself the original one. Historians such as Wilkinson and Mallet have proven conclusively from ancient documents that at one time all people of the earth believed in one God, supreme, eternal, invisible, who by the word of his mouth spoke all things into existence, and that by his character he was loving and good and just. But as Satan will always corrupt whatever he can, we find him corrupting the minds and hearts of men so that they reject the truth. And he has always attempted to receive worship as though he were God and not the servant and creation of God. He drew worship away from God to the end that he might draw it unto himself and be exalted. He certainly did this according to his desire to spread his religion throughout the whole world. This is authenticated by God in the book of Romans. Amen? When they knew God, they glorified him not as God until they became vain in their imaginations and through darkness of their heart accepted a corrupted religion to the extent that, they worship the creatures and not the creator. Remember, Satan was a creature of God, son of the morning. And thus we find that where once truth was disseminated among people and all held to that one truth, there later came a day when vast groups turned from God and spread a diabolical form of worship around the world. History bears it out that those of the tribe of Shem that stood with the unchanging truth were solid opposed to those of Ham who turned away from the truth to the devil's lie. There is no time, he's speaking in the book, he says there's no time to engage in the discussion of this. It's merely to introduce that you may see, don't forget this, that you may see that there were two religions and only two. And the evil one became worldwide. So remember that. Monotheism, worshiping one God, turned into polytheism in Babylon. The devil's lie and the devil's mysteries rose up against the truth of God and the mysteries of God in that city. Satan truly became the God of this world and exacted worship from those that he had duped, causing them to believe that he was truly the Lord. Amen. And so we know, we can see what I just read there. We can see that plainly in the scriptures. You don't necessarily have to go to history, but if you just believe your Bible, you can see that this is what happened.
Right.
We first saw this in the Garden of Eden with Cain. Cain,
right.
Now think about this. We know the scripture said Abel, by faith, offered to God a more excellent sacrifice because he had revelation. He caught a revelation.
Yes.
We know that Abel did, but Cain did not have revelation. And so, but we see in the scriptures there that Cain saw what God accepted.
Right.
He saw what was right, and he was even told by God, if you'll do the same, you'll be accepted, right? He was told, you will be accepted. Do the same what? Do the same form of worship that God accepts.
Yep.
Amen? But we all know now, we have the benefit of looking at this through the end time revelations. We look back on that, and there would be no way that Cain could have actually worshipped properly because he didn't have revelation.
That's right.
There's no way he could have done that, right? And so the scripture tells us that Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. Now think about this. They're all religious. Cain, Abel, the religious are trying to worship God because all people on the earth want to worship. You were created to worship.
Right.
Right? People may not think about it, but when you're just beside yourself because you're a favorite ball player, you are expressing a form of worship. When they go to these rock concerts and they look like they're in church or doing this, singing like they're worshiping.
That's right.
Right? Because all of us have something in us that must worship. And we can deny it all we want, but in us is a desire to worship. So here's Cain and Abel. They're religious. They want to worship. And Cain is even told, here's what you can do. You want to be saved? I'm going to bring it into our day. You want to be saved? You want to be accepted? You want to go on a rapture? Just do what God has told you is the right thing to do, and you'll be accepted.
Yep, right.
But see, God knew that Cain couldn't do that. God knew there was no way in the world that he was ever going to be able to do that because Cain was not a son of God.
Right.
Says the Bible.
Yep.
Right? Cain was not a son of God, and so he didn't have anything to believe with. He wasn't the gene of God, the offspring of God, like Adam was, like Seth was, like Enos, all the way down through there. Those people were the sons of God. That means that there was some spiritual genetic something from God that went into Adam and into Seth, but wasn't in Cain because Cain came from the serpent.
Right.
And because he did not have that gene in there, he could not receive revelation. So because he didn't have revelation, there's no way he could properly worship God in the form that God would accept.
Right.
Amen.
Right. Amen.
We know that. And so, but God is fair and just. He pours out his spirit on, he pours out his rain on the just and the unjust, right?
Right.
In the vision where the rain fell on both the wheat and the tare, or in the scriptures too. Right? So God knew that he couldn't, but God is fair. So he gives everybody chance to receive it, knowing that not everybody's going to.
That's right.
And not everybody's going to because not everybody have that gene in them. See, the word redeem is to bring back. God will not be bringing back to his kingdom something that wasn't there to begin with.
That's right.
Right? I told you the whole strength of the message to bear down on this. Right? Because I expect God expects us to change our thinking when these revelations come. He wants us to change our thinking and quit acting like the rest of the church world and continuing on down in things that aren't truthful.
Right.
He wants us to capitalize on understanding these truths.
Yes.
That's why he sent them. Amen. And so God offered it to him anyway, because he's fair and just, knowing full well that he could. So when Cain left the presence of the Lord, I mean, know the scripture said he went out from the presence of the Lord. He went to the land of Nod.
Right.
I had never thought about it, I don't guess, but maybe he nodded off to sleep.
Yeah.
He went to the land of Nod. That's probably where that come from. My wife could look that up for you. She's you know, look up, you can find where some of this stuff come from, some of these phrases. But when he left, what did he leave? He was religious, just like all peoples of the world. What he left was a worship, the worship of God according to the word of God that God had given. God had said, do it this way and you'll be fine. You'll be accepted. And he went out from that. And so he left worshiping God according to the word of God that God had given up to that time. God's not going to want someone to worship according to the word that he hadn't revealed yet. But once he has released it into the earth, then he expects people to catch that and go with it.
Right.
Amen? So Genesis, we know Genesis is the seed book of the Bible. And so what we just talked about here, what the quote and what we're just seeing here that Cain did, we can see that. We can see that even in the little books of John. We can see it in Romans chapter 1. Paul talked about it, you know, as we read the quote a while ago, that when they knew God, then they went away from him. Right? And so we know that in the small books of John, who is a type of the bride of Jesus Christ, and so John caught it. John said, you know, we hear people all the time, church world people talking about, oh yeah, the Antichrist, when the Antichrist, and I've heard it, Bill Clinton was the Antichrist, and they're probably saying, I'm saying that, I've heard them say that, you know, everybody that rises up that's got some, oh, this is the Antichrist, and this is the Antichrist, and you hear them all talking about that, but John taught it, and John said in his day that Antichrist was already here. The church world is always saying, oh yeah, when that Antichrist comes. And they missed the fact that he's already here and he's been here all this time.
Right?
But John caught it because John's the type of the bride, and the bride has access to Revelation, and she catches these things. And so John, representing the bride, had to say, hey, listen, this thing's already here. It's already working, right?
Yeah.
Paul caught it, so he wrote about it in Romans chapter 1. He caught what had happened when they went away from God, what they go off into. And the reason why Paul got it was because Paul was the first church age messenger. He has access to Revelation, so he had to see it, right? He had to see the same thing. And remember that, as we read in the quote, there was only two. It was original religion, and then they left it, and so it became two. And one of them, the one that left the Word of God, filled the earth, and every nation is now guilty of being fornicating with that, and the kings of the nation fornicating with that other religion. And so all other religions fall underneath that one that went away. All religions do. And it's all underneath the great whore that he said that all the blood of all the saints that were martyred is found in her. Because it's all of them's underneath her.
Yep.
Right? So when they come out of the garden with one religion, split off, and everything contrary to the Word of God is underneath this package. So there's really only two religions on this earth.
Right.
The true one that's accepted by God and one that's not. Can be in any form, any avenue, many ways that lead to destruction, but they're all underneath the same category according to what were the scriptures and according to that quote there a while ago. We see. So, the Antichrist spirit has already been here. And so John caught that. And so what did John say? John says, hey, it's here already. And how did he describe it? He described it as, hey, they went out from us. They went out from us, right? We know John's a real McCoy. He's not a false. He's not a fake. He's one of God's disciples, the one whom the Lord loved, the type of the bride. So we know, and he wrote the book of Revelation under the visions of things that God gave him. And so we know that's right. And so John said, there used to be some that worshipped underneath this. And for some reason, they left. Well, if they left, it's because they did the same thing Cain did.
Right.
Because they left that, and he said, they went out from us, and that vindicated that they weren't part of us, because if they would have been part of this movement, of this real movement of a God, they wouldn't have left. Right? You know, when a true son of God comes into contact with God, there's something that takes place there. And you can't reverse that. Once you have that experience, you are sealed until the day of your redemption. Nothing's going to take that away from you once you have that real thing. Amen. So when the Spirit of God comes upon a son of God, it causes him, the Spirit within him, it causes him to cry out, Abba, Father. It causes him to realize God is my Father.
Right?
And so, and I am his son. And you recognize God is my Father, and I am his child, and I am his son. And so with that, that Spirit causes him to know this and causes him to cry out that, and he begins to realize everything that comes with that as a child of God, everything that comes with it is tutoring from God for him to train you and teach you. And for you to grow and become mature and to grow up. And with that son-father relationship comes correction, a rod and a staff, right? With that, if you're going to say, I'm a father, then you got to recognize, he's my father, I belong to him, I've got his spirit in me, coursing through my veins, his life. And so then I have access to some things. And I need to expect and realize that if he's my father, he expects me to mature and become like him. He's going to correct me so that I can become like him. And he's going to move me into direction. And I can also, as a child of God, I can expect and believe and know that there's an inheritance coming to me.
Amen.
From my father.
Right.
Right?
Amen.
Amen. See, God doesn't want you wondering. He wants you to know that you're his child. Know that Satan can never do anything to change that.
Right.
That you, when it's over and done with, you'll be there with him.
Right.
No questions. That's what he wants you to understand and come to. To understand that sin question was dealt with. So when people leave God as Cain did, they have nothing to hold them.
Right.
So they drift. If you don't have that relationship with God that I'm talking about, and you count his word for what it is, then you're a drifter.
Amen.
That's what Cain was. He drifted off. He was a drifter, a wanderer. I've never experienced a time when I didn't have a home. I didn't have a place to go to.
Right.
I never had to spend time out and meet the bridge. I don't know what it's like. But to me, it'd be very fearful.
Mm-hmm. Right.
God doesn't want you not knowing what your home is, who your father is, where you belong.
Right?
That's something that Satan wants to do. And so, when people leave the Word of God, they leave that relationship with God, then they drift off into all kinds of things. Because they're religious, they drift off into all kinds of religious things.
That's right.
And when that happens, this is Romans chapter 1, when they knew him as God, but they failed to glorify him as God, they failed to keep that recognition and that worship there with him, and they did begin to drift off from that, next thing you know, they're starting to create images of God, what they think God is, images of four-footed creatures and beasts and so forth like that. And next thing you know, they're gone off into reprobate mind, and then you got homosexuals and lesbians and everything else coming out of that.
Right.
And the scripture said there is a just recompense for that kind of lifestyle. Right? There's a just recompense for leaving God. I was listening to the prophet, and he said that if you don't have eternal life, God can't, you're not going to come up, in that glorious resurrection because eternal life is the only life that's left.
Right.
That's the only one that can come up because all the rest of it is fault, is bad. And so you got to have that or else you're not going to be there, see? And so people go off into these things and they begin to make images of what they think God looks like. Why? Because they've drifted away from and they no longer know that truth about who God is, that word that he's given us of how to approach him. They've lost that, but yet they're religious, and so they want to seek ways to find comfort and peace, and everything in the world can become a religion to them. Right? Everything in the world. And a lot of times they'll take Christianity and try to mold it in with something that's really, like for instance, we like to be a motorcycle gang, so we're just going to make ourselves this Bible motorcycle gang, right? Or something like that. A lot of times, and all that is trying to move into something that we can feel like we got a sufficient covering and everything's okay and we're serving our God,
right?
But what happens if people have moved away from the real channel, the real way to get to God that he has given, they've moved from that. And so now they got all kinds of ways that they're trying to serve the same God, but through imagery and actions contrary than what he had laid out in the first place.
Right. Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
No question about that.
Right.
So they make these images of what they think their God is like. Like in the Bible, the God of the Philistines, Dagon.
Yes.
And Dagon was a fish god. Now, early on, he wasn't a fish god. He was whatever. But later on, he became, I guess, I don't know exactly, but he became also, the image of him was a half man, half fish. And so the Philistines, part of their livelihood was grain, growing grain, and so many, religions around the world, I looked it up the other day. I was astonished because I heard Brother Graham say this, and so I looked it up, and I was astonished at how many religions they worship the sun god Where when the sun goes south in the wintertime, and it gets as far south as it can be, and then it's going to come back up, back into the summer cycle, and that furthest position is December 23rd. They call it Solstice, I believe is the name of it.
Right.
It goes down there. That's when the sun becomes the weakest, right, wintertime.
Yep.
The minute it starts coming back to strength to bring us crops and all that, and so they call that the sun god's birthday.
Right.
And I was astonished when he said it, so I looked it up, and it was just one after another after another after another. There's a list went on and on of all these religions, virtually all around the world, they worship this sun, and it was the birth of the sun god.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
You understand that?
Yep.
And so, because why? Because they all know that if you want your crops to grow, you got to have that sun. So he became a god to them, worshiping God through that imagery.
Right?
There's nothing in the Bible telling us to do that.
No, that's right.
Right? But that's what they did.
Right.
So the Philistines were the same way, and then they also lived by the Mediterranean Sea, I believe it was, and so they had a big commerce of fishing. And so the concept here is that people, when you've moved away and you don't know God, they change the imagery of God into what they see their livelihood coming through, like, I gotta have the sun to grow my crops, I gotta have fertility, I gotta have this, I gotta have that. And so they look in nature and they see in the creation, not the creator, they look at the creation
right.
and say, well, the sun, I gotta have that, so that must be God, because that's how we live, and he's providing all of everything we need. Some people today will look at their job. That's their God, because that's what provides their needs, supposedly, right? So the Philistines, they believe that their God provided food and fertility and power, and God does.
Right.
But they had went off, and he was a fish god. And you can use the Indians over here with the same thing, the sun and nature and all that.
Right.
And so the question is, did God accept the Philistine worship in that form? And we should all be able to say, answer that, no.
No, not at all.
They were heathens.
Right.
They were heathens. Well, why? Why not? God, well, you can say, well, God, they're worshiping you.
No.
They're saying, God provides this. Why not accept it? And it was because they were worshiping God through a channel that he had not provided.
That's right.
His word.
Right.
You got it?
Amen.
You cannot worship God contrary to his word.
That's right.
Because if you do, you're an idolater, or you're guilty of spiritual fornication.
That's right.
Amen. And so, because Jesus said to those people, the Pharisees and Sadducees of his day, he said, in vain you worship me. And he says how they did it. In vain you do worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of man.
That's right.
When you, instead of keeping God's word, you change it and start pushing some man's tradition, some man's idea, something man likes, something man in his fallen away experience dreams up and says, well, this is the real way to worship God. And he's done that because he left it way off over here sometime.
That's right.
Right? And when in vain you do worship me. Now, he was talking to the most religious people in the world there, right?
That's right.
There they crucified him.
That's right.
But they had made the tradition, in the midst of all their religious worship and all their cycles and everything, and feast and all that, they had made commandments of man greater emphasis in their lives than that of the Word of God. I hope that all of us could, in our own walk, can say, am I doing that? Have I done that? Have I heard something out of the Word of God that I backed away from, and now I'm trying to go through and act like everything's okay because I'm doing this and this, and it's all something you have made up or someone else has made up,
right?
But isn't God's Word. See? That's what I want all of us to do, is to look at these things and ask her, because ultimately What we want is all of us to be free from spiritual fornication, right, or adultery, whichever one you want to call it, and be full beneficiaries of what God has sent to get us away from those things so we're not guilty of doing it. Right. Many of these people were very sincere. They weren't like, you know what, I'm just going to defy God and come up with some of... No, they were sincere. They thought they were doing right, but they were wrong because they had moved away from the channel which God had provided. Amen? Which is His Word. So, they made images like... And the prophet gave it like this. He goes through this and he talks about organized religion. The organized religion will create a system that they think is pleasing to God, that God is an image of their God, and they begin to worship in that form. Amen?
Right.
But God does not accept worship that comes through a route that He did not provide.
Right.
God said, worship me by obeying my word, by listening to my word and following what my word is as I reveal it. I say that because God revealed through Luther, and as he reveals it, He expects us to move with that light as He's showing us light.
Right.
Amen. And so we cannot continue to worship God by an outdated form. I say that, right? We can't just say, well, I mean, we all know that what God did through Luther's life was amazing. And it was God. But if we try to worship today just strictly that and not everything else that God has added and brought forth out His word, that becomes idolatry. That becomes spiritual fornication. That becomes, and I'm trying to get to this point, which we'll here in just a moment, that becomes an incomplete image of God. Right?
Right.
If you just stay back to the previous message of the previous day, then you're worshiping God through an incomplete avenue, an incomplete image of God. And I'll explain that here in just a moment. So though Luther was right in his day, it's not okay just to have that today by itself. An Old Testament example of that is Nehushtan. I mean, he knows what Nehushtan was. Nehushtan was the serpent on a pole. And remember, when the children of Israel came out and they murmured, the snake started biting them, and God told Moses, you make this serpent out of brass, lift it up on a pole, and it'll come to pass, and anybody that's bit by the snake and they're dying, look to that pole, and they'll live. And that's why we have that today as our medical symbol, because we look to Calvary, Christ being divinely judged on the cross, and then we can be saved and healed. Right?
Right.
But you find out in the scriptures later on in 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 4, that the people began to burn incense to that image. Right? And Hezekiah, I think it was, had to destroy that thing.
Yeah.
There you go. And one day it was right, but then later on they were it was wrong now.
Right?
Right? So you see, it's both. And my wife said that her and Benjamin saw and watched this eagle the other day. I just being, you know, Christians do this. Always pull it back to the word, you know. I said, did that eagle have two wings? I think I said, did it have an Old and New Testament? She says, what do you mean? Or I said, two wings. I said, an Old and a New Testament.
Right.
Because a bird ain't going to fly very well, but it's only got one wing. It's going to go in circles.
Right.
A lot of people go in circles. So I said all that to say this. These concepts are Old Testament and New Testament.
Right.
It's there all along, all the way through the whole thing. Old and new. It's there.
Amen.
Right. And so, here's the thing. Sons of God accept God's provided way. They don't need another way.
Right.
They don't need another form of worship because they've accepted the original form of worship.
Right.
But it's those who turn away from the original form that God has provided through His Word, and they're the ones that have to come up with something else because they've left the original.
Right.
Amen. It's the rejectors of God's Word that are the ones who look for something else. So, when worship is expressed outside of God's provided way, Satan gets the worship. You say, I'm worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ, but do it through false teaching, Satan gets the worship.
Right.
Amen. Remember the quote I read a while ago? So, which makes the person, the worshiper, guilty of spiritual fornication. Even if they don't see it that way. A lot of people don't see it that way, but it's God's program, right? What if, you know that my wife and I, we've been married a long time, wonderful years, and what if my wife, in her being my wife, spent her time waiting and cooking on some other man. And would say, I'm serving my husband. You don't serve your husband by some other.
Right.
You serve your husband by doing the things, preparing the food that he likes, taking care of his needs, being the helpmeet to him. You don't serve him by serving somebody else, some other.
Right.
You don't serve God by worshiping some devil or some system of a devil. Even if you think, you say, well, I'm serving God. No, you're not.
That's right.
If you've left his channel that he provided, exactly, then Satan gets the worship and you're guilty of spiritual fornication.
Right.
That's exactly what happens.
Man.
Or what if my wife, she's serving me, but instead of listening to my word about what I like and things that I want, what if she let another sister say, well, here's what you need to do. This is what will make your husband happy. We look at that as ridiculous, right? It'd be ridiculous. You're like, what? You're listening to another sister or another woman to tell you how to, you're listening to another church rather than listening to the word,
right?
Your husband has said, this is what I like, and this is, these are the things I need, and this is our relationship, and yet you're gonna serve him, but you're gonna do it contrary. Like if Sister Vicky every day was putting sour cream on Brother Daniel's plate. How long do you think that would work? You see what I'm saying?
Right.
You don't serve your mate by pleasing someone else or some other way. You serve them by obeying and pleasing that one you're married to.
Right.
And so if my wife is over next door fixing food every day when I come home from work and fixing food for my neighbor, I would have a problem, and I'd have a problem real quick.
Right.
And in my mind, I'd be thinking, unfaithful.
Right.
You mean God wouldn't? We're made in his image. Paul said, I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy.
Right.
Paul's saying this about the church. I have espoused you to Christ. I'm wanting to present you as a chaste virgin because that's the way it has to be. But I'm afraid, I fear, lest as a serpent beguiled Eve. So you know what happened there in the garden meeting, right? That right there tells you what happened.
Right.
That someone else is going to preach another Jesus, another gospel, or you receive another spirit, and if you do, you're no longer a chaste virgin, and I can't present you to Christ.
Yep.
It's pretty straightforward.
That's right.
Right? Amen. So, people may not think when they worship the way they do and things that they do, they may not think that that's what they're doing, but that's exactly what they're doing, the same example. They're not being faithful to their own husband. God. Our job is to honor God in every part of our life, and that is to never give honor or credit to another that belongs to God. Like Brother Tim's song a while ago, who else is worthy? Ain't nobody else worthy.
Right.
So we shouldn't be found giving praise and honor and living and resources, our lives out for something that's contrary to his word. Amen.
Right.
And so if we do that anyway, attribute, give honor to places, to beings and things and systems other than God's word, then that makes us spiritual fornicators.
Right.
in the Pergamean church age, Brother Graham talks about this, and this is not out of the church age book. This is the actual church Pergamean church age message. Just to show you that he talked about these things. See, he's talking about the whore church. See, mother of prostitutes. If they're prostitutes, how did they become prostitutes? By committing fornication against the word of God. If the word of God says, now listen, right? If the word of God says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and every person was baptized in the name of Jesus, and then you take Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that's prostitution.
Yep. Right.
Right? Why? Because the word said, do it this way, and you've gone another way.
Yep.
Why have they gone the other way? Because that other system that broke off and became idolaters and filled the whole world. Uh-huh. And that's their litmus test of whether or not you're even a Christian, is do you believe in the Trinity? I've looked it up. We've talked about it before. They don't even count you as legitimate if you don't believe in the Trinity. But a prophet stood here and saying that if that's the way you believe in God, that then Satan has made an idolater out of you.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right? So we say, well, we don't have a problem with that. Right? We can say that, hopefully. But if you substitute shaking hands or taking a wafer on your lip and swallowing or something other like that for the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost in the Bible, and the Holy Ghost came from heaven like a rushing mighty wind and filled the people and made them speak in tongues and shout and act like drunk people, and you substitute shaking your hands, putting your letter on a church or something like that, how are you ever going to get out of the way of committing spiritual fornication? See, he's showing you, when you don't follow God's word, you are guilty of spiritual fornication, even though you're worshiping God. Do you think? But because it's false teaching, false word, it's diverted to Satan instead. The scripture said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
That's right.
Brother Ben says, now just ask yourself that. When he said, how are you going to get out of being spiritual fornication? Just ask yourself that. Shake your minds down. Open up your heart and be honest, brethren. We're at the end of the road. These messages are just not here in vain. They were ordered of God. I believe it just as sure as you believe me to be a servant. I say it in the name of the Lord, the name of Jesus, that God placed upon my heart to come here. I don't get one penny for doing it. I can go out here and pray for the sick somewhere or something like that. Or I could go out yonder and go fishing and draw my money the same. I get a salary from the church. But God placed it upon my heart. I couldn't get away from it. I just kept crying. It just kept crying to me at it. And I'm doing all I can. I'm here in the name of the Lord doing everything I know how to do. Don't let it pass you.
Amen.
I see a prophet sounding very, very sincere there, letting you know the things that he's sharing are from the Lord.
Right.
Amen. And so, see, God has provided a way to approach him. It is by his word as it's revealed. Amen. You know, they make images. Make images of what they believe represents God. Right? But God in his word has told us what his image is. God has said in his word, the expressed image of his being is Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Is the word.
Right.
Right? The expressed image of God is the word.
Right.
And the word was made flesh in the person Jesus Christ. Can never get away from it. It's all forever, ever now. Know that it's the name is Jesus Christ. That's why there's none other name under heaven. No other life under heaven. No other word under heaven. No other person under heaven. Just him and him alone.
That's right.
Amen. And so that is the express image of God. Now, if I wanted to come And I wanted to talk to Brother Tim, Brother Tim Deanhart. Oh, Brother Tim, how's it going, Brother Tim? How you doing? Yeah, you got here, brother. If I was really that way, you'd start looking for a straitjacket.
Yeah.
Because you don't expect people to go to another person, another place, to contact someone that's not there.
Right? Right.
What about God?
Right. Yeah, same way.
What about God? He has told us what his image is.
Yeah.
His image is, thus saith the Lord, the word as it's revealed. And then we let some other church, some other woman come around and pull it and say, well, but you don't have to do that. Here's a better way.
Yeah.
I think he knows.
Right.
He knows which, yeah, what's what it is.
Yeah.
Why would we listen to someone else? And that Bible has been vindicated through the ages. That is that word. That is
that's
his voice.
Right.
He can't go any other route.
Right.
Why would we listen to something else?
Right.
Amen?
Yeah.
Now, we'll say this, because it comes to mind right now, and it's part of the same message. God, you heard the phrase, give the cow enough rope and hang itself.
Right.
In the scriptures, God gives the Cains and the unbelievers, he gives them some things that they can grab hold of and run and create their doctrines and things from and say that it's Bible. And the way the prophet said is, he said they're going to have a spiritual application. They can't just go out here and merge all this paganism,
yeah,
together and just and they got to go, well, I got to justify it somehow. I got to show that this is that. So they take and they go and they take a scripture and out of context, without revelation, they apply,
right,
it and say, see, we're Christians.
Yeah.
Because they're quoting Father, Son, Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
And God lays that out there. He, as the prophet said, I'll read it at some point and through this series, Lord willing, that he knew they would do that. And so he laid that out there so they could make it thus. So they could make a system that would be a false religion based upon what they think scriptures are, but without revelation,
right,
and be false.
Yeah.
Right? And take people to the battle of Armageddon.
Right.
Amen. That's right. Amen. So, God has provided a way, and that is that we approach him through his body.
Right.
Right? But we've already showed you that he didn't fully reveal all of himself way back then. Even Paul said, hey, right now we look through the glass darkly, but then face to face.
Mm-hmm.
Then we're going to know as we're known. Right? And then at that time, then that which is in part will be done away with. Right? Because we'll, at that time, we'll have the perfect word with divine revelation and interpretation. In that day. Right? And so he reveals a little bit of himself so the disciples and the early church could, then that's the way they meet him, because this is his word. Then later on, when he revealed a little bit more word to Luther, now we have a more complete image of God to worship. Through his image. What if we say, well, no, we didn't believe that, what Luther's saying, so we're just going to stay here. Well, then you've got an incomplete image of God.
Right.
And you're limited in your worship, see? And God, he likens that to spiritual fornication or adultery when people do that. Amen. And so here at the end time, when God has unfolded and revealed now all these mysteries,
right,
we have a more complete image of God, right, to worship him, to approach him, for our worship to accept all of what he is. And I've had, you know, I've heard it, people say, well, you know, you can be Christian and all that, but you're acting like these mysteries and stuff, that you're acting like we have to believe all that, right? I mean, you know what I'm saying? But and we can just believe this, we're fine. And you act like you, well, I want to ask you something. Is any of those mysteries, is that part of Christ? Is that part of the revelation of the word? To understand there was a serpent that had seed and how that worked?
Right?
Right? To understand Babylon has fallen? Is that part of the word? If it's part of the Word, it's part of Christ, it's part of His body, and we have to approach Him through that. So you see, you cannot get anywhere with God by rejecting the part of the Word that He's now revealing that's part of Himself.
That's right.
You can't do it. He doesn't accept that. It's just like, and you'll see it. It's in there if you listen to it. It's the daughters just like the mothers.
Right.
But we want to say, yeah, that's them denominations out there. But I'll tell you that if we inside the message, we have things that we believe that's wrong, that has been corrected, and we still hang to those things, we're just as guilty. Amen. Amen. So Revelation chapter 18, 4 sent a message there. It says, come out of her, my people. Because this thing is now at the end, and it's now time for God to pour out His judgment on that system. That system that in the beginning left the true Word and became all these religions out here, and it's all underneath the mama whore and all these Protestant and all these daughters underneath there, and it's time to pour out judgment upon that. You say, well, He's pouring out judgment on the whore. That's right, but He also declared in the Scriptures, I will kill her children with death.
Yeah.
So denominational teaching, Christianity, all those religions that come from that, that's all part of that, they die also.
Yep.
Right? Says the Word. Mm-hmm. Right? But it becomes very clear to us now under the message of the hour, but it's right there in the Bible, says these things. Amen. So God has given us a further revelation of Himself on how to approach Him and worship. That's why I've said many times in the past, you know, if my wife said, honey, I'll marry you, but I don't like your ears, you'll have to cut your ears off. Then I wouldn't have married you. Christ is not going to marry someone that says, well, I accept this part of your word, but I don't accept that other part of your word. You will.
Right.
You understand. Amen. And so, so why the prophet come along and he preached those sermons like the choosing of a bride. And explains exactly what Christ's nature is and what He's coming after. Amen. So as God would reveal these truths, these mystery truths come out, they corrected errors of previous days. They correct the errors of all these false, these religions that have gone off in some other direction. It corrects those. I said a while ago, if He's our Father, then He's going to train us and He's going to correct us and we're going to grow, and at some point we're going to come into adoption and receive our inheritance. Right? So that means that God has to change us. If we've been guilty of something that was wrong, He has to change us. And that's what the message came. Come out of her, my people. Don't be partakers of what's coming her way. But you will be if you're in there acting like and doing like and following those things. If you still worship God underneath those false approaches, then you're in trouble.
Right.
So, you know, and we could go on and on and on. I'll finish here just in a moment. But if He said, if God through the prophet's ministry brought a ministry on the scene that had the gift of God enough to correct Pentecost, right? You know, you wouldn't take just anybody that could speak in tongues to correct all this Pentecostal movement, right? But God take a man with a gift of God that was so superior to that he had the authority to say, hey, Pentecost, here's where you've gone wrong.
Right.
Where I think Pentecost failed.
Right.
Right? Had the ability to do that, right?
Yep.
And underneath that ability, with that kind of ministry, He says, it's the Word above and beyond sensations. The Word is what you go with, not the sensation.
Yep, right?
But then, if people continue on, and even in message churches, they still act like sensations is proof that somebody's got a real experience with God.
Yep.
False worship.
Right.
Because that Word has been revealed, so we know better.
Right.
And it's because of people didn't know better that Pentecost had went through and did all, and I'm not talking about the real people, we understand, but that movement and all the nonsense that's happened because of that, if people knew, they'd have never got those inroads. Right? So God has brought us these things for us to understand so we're not shaken by things. if the prophet come along and he said, he explains to us the roles of the fivefold ministry, what each one of them is for, what a pastor is for, an apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher. If he explained those things to us, and then we still have pastors acting like prophets, trying to act like prophets. Right? You know we have.
Right.
In the message.
Yep.
Right?
Absolutely.
Right? And look what it leads up to.
Right.
Look what happens. See? If we have that, if they have pastors trying to be prophets or pastors who pastors the church, but they're off running around acting like an evangelist instead of being home taking care of the flock.
Right. Right.
What does that do?
Right.
Fornication.
Yep.
Because we know better. Why? Because God had, through a vindicated, powerful voice, lining up with scriptures, has made these things known to us. Right?
Amen.
Pastors out being evangelists. Evangelists taking the seat of a pastor.
Mm-hmm.
All those things. We see it. I remember Lonnie talking about that years ago, and it stuck with me. And I've seen the results of what that is, what that does.
Yeah.
And so you might say, well, it doesn't matter. I'm telling you, all of God's word matters.
That's right. Amen.
And when God sent these, he sent a ministry with signs in the heavens and all these things to show us the unfolding of the church ages and unfolding of the seals and all those things unfolding with supernatural signs to show you that this is the hour. And then we're going to say, well, those things really don't matter. They're part of Christ the Word, and they do matter.
That's
and
right.
We must, if we want to have true worship to God, we accept those things, and we live and act accordingly to those truths.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
And that's for every one of us, we find areas where we're going to have to fight for that Word to adopt those things truly in our life. And say, I'm going to conduct myself. You know what the word repent means? Change your mind. Change our mind about being, I'm coming through Pentecost. Strangest thing in the world, even before knowing the message. And right here in this building. And preach and have people rejoicing like a wave of the Holy Spirit move across them like that. And then have some of these elders come up after me and go like, do you have the Holy Ghost? I ain't never heard you speak in tongues.
Oh my.
Right here. Right? And you have to realize God predestinates people with an appetite. And even not even knowing the message, I'm like, that don't sound right.
No, that's right.
That's an uncertain sound.
Yep.
Right? I come up through that.
Yep.
I've seen the I don't know. It'd be very, very, very few prophecies in interpretation in Pentecost that actually came to pass and was real. Right?
Right.
How did they get that kind of inroads? How did they get to the place where so much of that was so prevalent and never accountable? It's because they got away from the Word. And a prophet standing here correcting it. Right?
Amen.
It does matter. You shall know the truth, and truth shall make you free. If Brother Branham, a man that God was with, felt the way he did about these things enough to preach them
right.
with conviction, don't you think God would have corrected him if they were wrong?
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Think about it. God can never hold us to something he didn't lay out there vindicated to show it was him.
Right.
And then if that's the case, then how should we treat it? How should we look at it? Amen?
Right.
I say these things to give you a more earnest desire to listen to the message and rid ourselves of things that's anti-word. Because that's what Antichrist is. It's anti-word. But yet in the place of Christ, the Word.
Right.
Amen? How many believe it?
Amen.
God sent us a Word for a reason. And we all have struggles. Amen? A child of God goes through training, teachings, failures, but he keeps right on the training.
Right.
We're getting stronger.
Right.
Right?
Amen.
When I say we're getting stronger, that doesn't mean we're shouting louder or we're running the aisles harder or whatever, but we're getting stronger in faith.
Yeah.
Because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. And when God gives more of his word, more of that image, I know more how to approach my God through truth. I cannot approach him through a false thing. I have to approach him and say, God, I thank you because I understand now the serpent had his seed. You know, that you're one God, you're not three. Hell's not eternal. These things give us strength in our own spiritual walk to be able to understand clarity of God's program in this hour. We're not confused about hell being eternal.
No, that's right.
These things are things under our belt that's making us greater and greater people. And we want to accept them. We want to recognize them as something God has sent for that purpose. That we could rid ourselves of any kind of form of spiritual fornication. Amen. Beloved.
Amen.
I'll let our musicians come and we'll pray just for a moment, then we'll let you go. Amen. So let's bow our hearts to him. Lord, we love you. We thank you, Lord, because you didn't leave us in this age to drift. Drift into whatever direction to believe whatever, Lord. But you gave us an anchor that holds. You gave us something, Lord, that we know to be truth, that even on our last days we could hold to and know that it will stand firm. Lord, we thank you for that. It wouldn't mean as much to us if we couldn't see it in your Bible. But Lord, we do see it in your Bible. And then we see it come down through history and testify to the Bible that it was right. And Lord, we just want to give our thanks to you for it now. We're so happy that you have come and did the things. And we're asking now, Lord, that you just continue to work with us. Be merciful, Lord, and help us to grow in these things. And be able to cope with these things, Lord, that we would be able to be that perfect expression of your bride to this world. We love you, Lord. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand and worship the Lord just for a moment.
It's by no